The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
It's relatively straightforward for Spurs in terms of the results. It hasn't been straightforward in terms of team selection over the last while, Owen. This has been... Mm-hmm. We're trying to read the runes. So Bale didn't start last night, but played well off the bench against West Ham. Scored when he came off the bench last night. Does this mean he's going to start at the weekend? I'm not sure. Martin Lipton, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm okay, actually.
Yeah. That's for the first time in a while.
If my life were determined by the results of Tottenham Hotspur, it'd be truly miserable. So thankfully it isn't.
Tell us about what is actually happening at Spurs at the moment. It's very difficult to know. The result last night was excellent, and that competition is going to be very important if we're going to see another act of Jose Mourinho at Spurs. What's your instinct at the moment about how long Mourinho is going to last?
I think, like the consequences of the French Revolution, it's far too early to say. But nevertheless, they weren't great again. It was a reserve team and they won the game. So let's be honest, it was no big deal. They were playing a load of rubbish. Nevertheless, the performance was improved. I actually thought they played pretty well in the second half against West Ham and probably should have won the game from 2-0 down because they battered them senseless. But there's obviously concerns about where it goes. And Mourinho's fate will be determined by a variety of factors. One is the fact that it costs $30 million to sack him. And if there's a guarantee that fans will be back next season, it'll be a lot easier to afford sacking him when they earn £6 million from a home game. If fans aren't going to be back in big numbers, then it makes it a lot harder. But also, it will be based on how this season finishes. If they were to win the Europa League and get into the Champions League, absolutely no doubt that he stays another season. If they get knocked out in the next round, lose the League Cup final and finish 10th, I suspect they'll find a way to get rid.
Yeah. The stories that are coming out at the moment about the relationship he has with the players, how much credence do you give those? Because obviously when results are bad, some players are going to be annoyed and no doubt they'll tell their agents, the agents talk to people. These stories exist in almost every changing room where the team isn't top of the table. And yet, with Mourinho, there obviously has been a pattern where there are certain players who have been unhappy, big name players who have been unhappy at all the clubs that he's gone to. So I can't tell whether or not this is that important or if this is par for the course or if this is actually something that we should be paying a lot of attention to.
I read a piece in another newspaper the other day saying that Mourinho's treatment of Danny Rose was proof why he was never fit to be Tottenham manager. Tottenham have wanted Danny Rose out of the club for 3 years. So it's an absolute nonsense. I'm sorry, it's utter rubbish. Simple as that. Now, has he had fallouts with other players? Unquestionably. I think that there will be issues. His relationship with Bale and Dele Alli has been clearly strained at best, although it appears to be rather better now, maybe through necessity, but nevertheless, necessity can be of invention. So he had a bit of a fallout with Matt Doherty. I'm sure he has, because Matt Doherty has not performed. Let's be honest, he's been pretty awful. You know, even his most, you know, the most positive mark out of 10 for Matt Doherty would be 6, and I suspect it's near a 5. So he's been let down, he will feel, by certain players. The trouble is the defence isn't good enough. And you can have the most beautiful cathedral in the world constructed, but if the foundations are rubbish, it will fall down. And lo and behold, Tottenham are falling down on a regular basis because they can't kick the ball out of their own net. There are always stories at clubs that aren't doing well about the manager. That's what players and agents do. I always take them with a pinch of salt. If he has a fallout with Son and Kane, that's a different matter. Thus far, at least, those two in particular appear to be in the Mourinho camp.
It's interesting because some of the reports that you read suggest that they want the Pochettino level of work back, that they feel that they're being undertrained at some level, which kind of leads you to have a limited degree of sympathy for the players, considering being overworked might have been one of the reasons why they were unhappy with Maurizio Pochettino before he was sacked.
they're just excuse making. These were the same moments. All the training was far too hard. It needed to be softer. Mourinho doesn't let players go easy. He's not a madman, but he doesn't give them nothing in training. He makes them work very hard. So again, if you want to criticise the performance, the inertia, the stasis in the way that they played in too many matches, I'll listen to that. If you want to moan about training, I'm not interested.
But the 8-1 scoreline, Martin, surely you can take a positive from that. Surely Dele Alli scoring a bicycle kick against me is a positive thing in a competitive game.
No, it was much better, and they battered them in both games. I mean, the first leg they were 3 up at half time, and if they really wanted to, could have won by 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. And again, last night with the reserve team, they won easily. And Dele played very well. Even the big centre forward who can't trap a bag of cement scored twice. And he put a lot of kids in, and there's good mood music. But they've got to back it up on Sunday against Burnley, and then next Thursday against Palace, and then the following Sunday against Fulham, rather, and the following Sunday against Palace, and then the first leg of the last 16, and then Arsenal, and then the second leg. And it's like so many games that are coming. But they have one-off performances against a pretty ordinary side aren't enough. It's got to be back-to-back performances with a consistent team that's defending properly and playing as it can. Now, I think if you go with the front three, watching him the last couple of games of Bale, Son and Kane, you've got a chance because Bale's starting to look like Bale, isn't he? I mean, I would say that Son's slightly off form at the moment, but we can live with that. Kane could have scored 5 on Sunday. If he gets those chances again, they'll go in. So, theoretically, they can start to look like a football team again, which they haven't done for much of the last month.
Why have they been conceding so many goals? Is it the centre-back partnership? Is it the defensive screen from midfield? It's a very un-Mourinho-like thing to be happening.
We know he wanted to bring in Skriniar and ideally another at centre-half over the summer into the transfer window. Couldn't do it. Roden came in and has been in and out of the team. I think he's got a future, actually. I'm quite impressed with him. They aren't good enough. The fullbacks don't, on the right particularly, he hasn't got a right back he trusts. Reguilon's been out injured. He's a massive part for him. One of the things about Reguilon, because he's so quick and gets forward, the opposing team are less keen to get at Tottenham on that flank, because if they lose the ball, they're going to get hurt on the counter. Without him and Ben Davies, this is a volley player, but he's not going to strike fear in anybody, is he? Let's be brutally honest. So things like that, the fact that the best centre-half isn't as young as he was and he's starting to look immobile. Dyer makes the odd mistake. Sanchez, I've never been sold on in the 3.5, 4 years he's been at the club. And Lloris is decent, but he's prone to a few errors, and every mistake he's made recently has cost a goal. But all season, they were conceding soft goals from set pieces. In fact, ever since Mourinho went there, they've conceded too many goals from set pieces, too many goals from simple crosses. It's been a pattern for more than a year.
That's coaching, right? Like, I know we can blame the players for complaining about stuff, but set pieces, you assume good quality coaching and, again, very un-Mourinho-like. So, because he was saying that he's still the best coach in the world, but if your team is conceding set pieces consistently, then you're not.
But these are defenders who make the same mistakes regularly. That's the problem. It's the same. They're making basic errors, which are concentration errors. Really sloppy goals. And I don't know quite why that can happen. I think it seems bizarre that they don't learn. The inability to learn is the thing that scares me, because I think you'd have thought by now, this level of football, you'd work out where you need to be positionally. But they're... I think it's a lack of confidence more than anything else. They lose faith in themselves. And you know what footballers are. It's the game is played between the ears more than anywhere else. And once you start making the errors, it's hard to get out of that mindset. You become nervous. You become hesitant. You attack the ball with less intensity because you're scared of having to make up for your mistake. So I don't know what the answer is. I think the answer sometimes is just a clear out of players and new ones who aren't burdened by muscle memory of failures past.
So it sounds like you are relatively confident that with a bit of a clear out, that actually the bones of a really good Spurs team is here, and that Mourinho still has it, whatever it is, at the club, and that there's a pathway for this to work, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
there is a path, but it has to work with results. And if results aren't there, it will be very difficult. He's very fortunate the fans aren't in, because there would have been a degree of negativity rushing around, particularly the last few weeks, when those performances, the Chelsea game, Brighton, just simply appalling, unacceptable level of performance, level of intensity. Now, with fans in the stadium, he would not have got away with that, and he has. So he's been bought time by circumstances which are entirely out with his control. But Daniel Levy and the board cannot afford Spurs to not be in Europe. If they're not in Europe, someone will take the blame, and that will be the manager. So he knows that as well. But I said, if they were to do what is still possible, then everything changes, and the mood music is completely different. So it will be entirely dependent upon what happens between now and the end of May.
What would the trigger be for Harry Kane to decide he's had enough? Is European qualification enough to keep him there? Is not qualifying for Europe enough of a trigger to say, look, lads, I gave it my best. I've given you my best years. The only fair thing for all of us here is for you to sell me to whoever wants to buy me.
4 years left on a 6 years contract. Spurs won't sell to another English club. And they won't sell for less than £200 million. Who has got £200 million in the current market?
Only maybe PSG if they're forced to sell Mbappe, but then they obviously are selling Mbappe because they want to buy Messi.
Want to go and play in France? Probably not. If he wants to, you know, you've got to choose your league. You want to play... look, if Lewandowski disappears and Bayern Munich come in, I can see him wanting to go there, for example, because they're a great team and they could do, he would be the ideal Lewandowski replacement, I think, probably even a better replacement. He wouldn't quite maybe score as many goals, though with the chances they create, he might, but he'd create loads as well. But there aren't that many clubs who've got the money anymore. We know that Barcelona and Real Madrid are really struggling financially, you know, £1 billion in debt. Money's too tight to mention, and that becomes an issue.
And I suppose that those circumstances go on. Sorry.
It sounds, Martin, as if there's like a few tangible fixes that you can see, defensively being one of them, where Spurs can actually get a realistic avenue towards a Champions League via the Europa League this year. It sounds like you would give them a chance against a team who are third in Bundesliga if they can get their defence together over the next few weeks.
I think they'll score goals against anybody. We've seen that. I mean, despite the fact they got beat because they defended poorly on Sunday, if you can't watch that second half and not think, how did they lose it? Because what was it, 4 or 5 balls rolled across the 6-yard box with no one getting a touch. 2 shots from Kane that were a fraction wide, 2 against the woodwork. And it will be one of them was ridiculously fortunate and a fluke. But, you know, the construction of the chances was that of a team that's looking as if it can score goals against anyone, which I hadn't seen since before Christmas. Probably not since the Manchester United game at the beginning of October. So you watched that and you thought, oh, yeah, there's a team there. Now, if that gels for a period of time, if he now goes, I don't say he will, but Højbjerg and Ndombele as a central two and Dele in behind the front three, that spells fear for any side. But then again, when you've got to score 4 to guarantee a draw, it's a lot harder.
One last thing, I wanted to talk about your story in the back of the Sun today. There's a potential that we might have a Champions League final in New York, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this was actually first mooted by Alexander Seferin soon after he took over in 2016. But my understanding, I'm told, is that the next UEFA contract, the next model, they're looking to fix it for 9 years, from 2024 to 2033. And that the suggestion I've been told is that potential sponsors have been sold the possibility, prospect of finals, not every final, but finals in New York, on the East Coast of the US. Now, a 3 p.m. kickoff in New York on a Saturday afternoon is 8 p.m. UK, 9 p.m. Europe. So it works for that, for all markets in that regard. And it's all about finding a way for UEFA to get more money in the bank. They need to be able to show that the money, that the competition is lucrative, because the clubs are in need of demanding extra cash.
The clubs appear to be very close to trying to come up with a radical solution to their billion euro debt problem by perhaps accelerating the whole notion of a breakaway league. For the last 20 years, they've been talking about, ever since the G14 was a football version of Bilderberg, they've been hinting at this possibility. It was only ever, it seemed like a threat. For the first time in a long time, it seems like it's a realistic possibility.
Well, look, this plan by Real Madrid, United, Liverpool and AC Milan is real. But it does appear that UEFA think they've headed it off by recreating the Champions League into this 36-team Swiss model league system. We'll see. There are issues within various leagues, within the European League group, within the Premier League, but they're tinkering around the edges. The basic concept appears agreed, accepted by UEFA and the ECA, and that's what matters. If you get the ECA clubs to sign up, including Real Madrid and Manchester United, who are on the steering board of the ECA, then it's difficult for them to join something else. And that's what UEFA's position is. They're trying to push this through swiftly by April, even earlier if they can, so it can be agreed at the Congress in April. And then it's fixed. And once the plan's out there and agreed, it becomes the winner, because it's difficult to see it overturned in favour of something else. So there's still issues, and there's still a possibility of this JP Morgan-backed 6 billion euro Super League. But I think if UEFA get their plan agreed, that will, if not kill it off, it will make it harder for that to become real.
All right, really interesting couple of months ahead of us all on the European football politics front. Martin, great to have you with us. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Bye bye.
Martin Lipton from The Sun there. You can read his story about the big cup going to the Big Apple.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.